Hello, welcome back to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. Today we're going to talk about one of the most misunderstood words in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, and that's the word rest. We are commanded to enter into the Lord's rest. But too many understand that to mean to refrain from work. And while it's important to get physical rest, the rest that the Lord wants is a rest for our souls. Many try to replace work with recreation, such as sports, hobbies, TVs, watching reels on phones. Now, all of these activities have a place in our lives, but the rest that the Lord wants is the rest that we find in His presence. Jesus wants us to spend time with Him, focused on His healing, His purposes, and His plans for our lives. For most people, life is filled with activities, competing for time that should be spent in communion with the Lord. An important truth is the principle of doing first things first. This means doing the most important things first, then everything else will follow in place. The Bible teaches the importance of putting first things first. Scriptures consistently show that order does matter to God, and blessings follow when you are aligned with Him. Now, here are three examples of putting God first. Number one, seek God before everything else. Matthew 6:33 says, and this is Jesus speaking, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Jesus teaches that spiritual priorities must come before material concerns. God does not deny our needs. He knows about that. But He promises to supply them when we put His kingdom, when we put Him first. The second thing is to build the foundation before the work. That's another example of putting first things first. Proverbs 24, verse 27 says the following, "Prepare your outside work, make it fit for yourself in the field, and then afterwards build your house." God values preparation and order. The unseen groundwork, the work that nobody really recognizes, but determines the strength and the success of what shall follow. The third area of putting things first is obedience in relationship before sacrifice. Remember Samuel 15, verse 22. "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." God prioritizes obedience and relationship over religious activity. Busy service cannot replace a surrendered heart. When we put things first, God before or else, our labor is aligned with His purpose and will bear lasting fruit. I remind you of Psalm 127, beginning in verse 1. "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it." So think of rest as an opportunity to reset. It's like your phone that's always running. It's always running those apps in the background. Now, even when you're not actually using it, the phone is still operating. The battery is draining. And on top of that, over time, what you find is that the apps don't work the way they should. And you know, the first thing that you should do is to reset the phone. Turn it off. And then turn it back on. That simple act can save you a lot of stress and grief. Now, many believers live like that. They're always running, always striving, never fully at rest. Jesus steps into that exhaustion with a simple invitation to reset. The New Testament presents rest not as an escape from life, but as a new way to live, anchored in faith, grace, and a living relationship with Jesus Christ. It's an opportunity to examine what is not going right and to connect to the one who can reset you. Of course, that's Jesus. Remember Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." I want to take just 1 minute to let you know that Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth are free Bible-based resources for pastors, for teachers, for leaders, and anyone seeking a deeper walk with our Lord Jesus Christ. All videos, audios, and text messages, they can be downloaded and used as resources for your own Bible studies, your own sermon preparation for preaching, teaching, and for personal growth. A special feature are the sermon helps, which are brief outlines with scriptures for you to adapt for your use. All are available for free. Also want to mention that you can find these resources at PastorVic.com or PastorVicsNuggets.com, either one. Or you can also find them on your favorite podcast platform, including Amazon Music, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, YouTube, and Google Music. May these resources be a blessing to you. Now, we're going to take a look at the meaning of rest in the New Testament. Number one, rest as a relief from burdens. Jesus says in Matthew 11, beginning in verse 28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." These words were spoken to people who were crushed by religious expectations. The Pharisees had added layers of rules and regulations to God's commandments, turning obedience into a heavy burden. People were exhausted, not refreshed. It would be like carrying a backpack filled with rocks. Each rule, each expectation, each failure adds another stone. Jesus came not to just remove a few rocks, but he offers to carry the backpack himself. When Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you," he's not inviting a relationship, or I should say, he is inviting a relationship, not a religion. Jesus does not invite them to try harder. He invites them to come into his presence. You see, rest begins with a person, not a principle. When Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you," he's not offering another system of law. Remember, a yoke joins two together. What Jesus is saying, walk with me. Let me carry the weight. His yoke is easy because he bears what we could never carry ourselves. The second aspect is to look at rest as being entered in as a faith effort. It's not works. Hebrews 4, the passage in Hebrews 4, beginning in verse 1 through 11, it's such an important passage, and it explains what the Lord means by the word rest. The main idea of this passage is that God offers a real rest that goes beyond the promised land or the Sabbath day. The rest is entered by faith. That is, trusting God, not by our own self-effort. And that rest is still available today. The passage also warns us that it's possible to be religious, to be busy, to be knowledgeable, and still not resting in God. You see, we can attend church, serve faithfully, and still live with anxiety if we are relying on ourselves instead of relying on Jesus Christ. The promise of rest still stands today. Hebrews 4, beginning in verses 1 and 2 says the following: "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it." You see, the writer of Hebrews is warning believers not to fall short of God's promised rest. Just as Israel did. Remember, Israel did. They sought to work it out on their own strength. Israel heard God's message, but it did not benefit them because it was not joined with faith. Hearing the truth is not enough. Even knowing the truth is not enough. We must receive the truth, and we need to do it with trusting obedience as the Holy Spirit leads us. For example, you can look at a chair all day. You can admire it. You can study it. But rest only happens when you actually sit down in it. Faith is sitting down in what Christ has already done. Entering rest requires letting go of self-reliance and trusting totally, completely in what Jesus has done. Then look at verses 3 and 5 in Hebrews chapter 4. It tells us that God's rest started in creation. It was always available. Verse 3 says, For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundations of the world. For he had spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all of his work. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Now I have to admit, this sounds a little bit complicated, but what we need to understand is that God's rest is rooted in creation. God rested on the seventh day because his work was complete, not because he was tired or exhausted. So the rest offered here is not merely a location like Canaan land or a ritual day like the Sabbath, but it was sharing in God's completed work and living from trust rather than striving. You see, those who persist in unbelief are warned that they will not enter into God's rest. Now, the beauty is that the invitation is still called today. Hebrews 4, verses 6 and 7 says the following. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day, saying, in David today, after such a long time as it has been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. You see, because some failed to enter in the past, God set another opportunity, long after Moses and even after Joshua. God still says today, because it's available to us now. That means the offer remains open, but it is urgent, and we need to respond while our hearts are still willing. Now, this passage in Hebrews talks about this rest is greater than the rest that was found in the promised land. In Hebrews, now we're looking at chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. And it says, for if Joshua had given them rest, when he would not afterward have spoken of another day, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his work, as God did from his. You see, Joshua, as you know, led Israel into the land, into the promised land. But that was not the final rest that God intended. A deeper Sabbath rest remains for God's people. To enter this rest is to stop trying to establish our standing with God by our own works, and instead rest in what God has done. What he has done through the cross of Calvary, which was ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And so we're called to persevere in faith. Hebrews 4:11, let us therefore be diligent to enter the rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. The command to be diligent is not a call to earn salvation, but to persevere in genuine faith. True faith keeps trusting and keeps obeying, refusing the pattern of unbelief that hardened Israel when they were in the wilderness. And so we can see from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, that three important things have been established. The first is what we call salvation rest, trusting God rather than our own works, trusting God rather than our own ability. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says the following, for by grace, that's a gift, you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And then there's the promise of daily rest, peace and stability that comes from walking with God. John 14, 27 says the following. Jesus says, peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then, of course, there's a promise of the final rest, eternal rest with God. And Jesus says in John 3:15 that whoever believes in him, meaning himself, the Messiah, should not perish, but have eternal life. Now let's take a closer look at these three truths. Number one, rest as salvation in Christ. Romans 5:1 tells us, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a foundational rest. Salvation settles the greatest question of all, our standing before God. The debt of sin is paid. The verdict is final. We are no longer trying to earn acceptance. We already have it in Christ. Just imagine you're in a courtroom where the judge declares paid in full, and yet the defendant keeps standing, keeps pleading. See, many believers do that spiritually. Rest means sitting down after the verdict. See, a believer does not work for salvation, but a believer works from salvation. The shift from striving to security is the heart of what the New Testament rest is all about. If salvation brings rest, then you have to ask a question. Why do so many believers still live under pressure? Rest as freedom from the law's commandments and the law's condemnation. Galatians 3:24 and 25. The Apostle Paul writes, therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. We need to realize that a tutor is not the teacher. The tutor is the one who's responsible for the child's education. And the tutor brings the child to the teacher. So the law is the tutor, and the law brings us to the teacher. And the teacher is Jesus Christ. Paul explains that the law was a tutor designed to lead us to Christ, not a place to live permanently. So once faith has come, we are no longer under that tutor. Trying to live under the law after coming to Christ produces fear, guilt, and burnout. Grace produces gratitude, not laziness. Rest does not remove obedience, but it changes the motive for obedience. So we say, we do not obey to be accepted, but because we are accepted, we obey. The law is like a mirror. It shows dirt on your face, but the law cannot wash it off. Grace does the washing. And this brings us to the question of how rest shapes daily living. Rest is an ongoing process in life in the Holy Spirit. As Hebrews 4:9 and 10 said, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his work as God did from his. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. And this rest is both present and future. It is future in that we look forward to eternal rest with Christ, but it is present in that we cease striving to justify ourselves. Jesus has done that for us. Walking in the Spirit means living daily from a place of trust, trusting God's grace, God's timing, and God's power. You know, a child sleeping in a car, he doesn't worry about directions or the fuel. The parent handles that. Spirit-led trust really is like that. We trust God for the journey. So in conclusion, New Testament rest is not inactivity. It is a confidence. It is the settled assurance that Christ has done what we could not do. True rest is found not in a day, not in a system, and not in ourselves, but in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Jesus still invites us today. Come to me, and I will give you rest. May we not only hear that invitation, but live in it every day. And so, Lord God, right now, I just pray a blessing upon every listener. Lord, that they would truly comprehend the joy and the peace that comes with resting in Him. And Lord, that each person would find their own way to that place where they abandon striving to get close to God and realize that God is already close with them because they have put their trust in what Jesus accomplished at the cross of Calvary. They have been forgiven and they have been set free, and they have God has a plan and a purpose for them as well. And so, Lord, blessings on every person out there. Embrace your rest in Him. God bless you. We'll see you the next time. Unless otherwise noted, all scripture quotations are from the New King James Version of the Bible. Copyright 1982 by Thomas Nelson. Used by permission, all rights reserved.